Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, March 3rd, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to talk to Jacqueline, program coordinator with Rise Up Central Wisconsin, and talk a little bit about their mural of hope. Right now, we have with us on the phone lines, Caitlin Kessler from the Wisconsin Beef Council. Caitlin, great to have you with us.
Well, great to be back with you, James.
It feels like it's been too long. Like, it's great to have you here. We got to talk more often. It's great to talk to our friends.
It always feels too long.
It does. we're going to be talking about, getting people ready for St. Patrick's Day here, talking some corned beef in just a little bit. But before we do, Caitlin, I don't know if you and I have talked about this or not before, but I am a bit of a cheeseburger connoisseur. A bacon double cheeseburger that's not only my favorite, maybe my favorite meal, but my pop. Papa and I, whenever we would travel around the country, I would go to different restaurants and I would have that same meal at every restaurant because I was on a mission to find who had the best bacon double cheeseburger. So we're about to get into a topic here about best burger contest. I may know a little bit about. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what I'm talking about at all. But I like many people out there, love a good cheeseburger, love a good burger. And we're going to talk right now about the Beef Council announcing their 2025 Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest.
That's right. So we launched this for the first time last year. So this is only our second annual contest. And to be honest, James, we weren't quite sure how it was going to go. There are folks like you who absolutely love cheeseburgers and going out and trying to find which one they think is the best, but we hadn't had a contest like this in Wisconsin. And I still remember when we first opened nominations last year, my executive director called me that Monday morning and she said, "How many nominations did you think that we got overnight?" And I said, "I don't know, 50. I was going to be happy if we had 50. And it was 500.
Wow.
And we're seeing the same excitement this year now. So within the first weekend of announcing the second Best Burger Contest, we had about 1,800 nominations come through. We had 5,000 people look at the nomination page, and I think people look at it and they may pause because they don't realize you can only nominate one. So I think that they're looking at it and they're saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to take a break and think about it," because the nominations aren't due until March 21st. Now, that doesn't mean that we want you to put this on the back burner and forget about it. We want to get our top burgers on the map in Wisconsin. But just some background now that I've droned on about the history of this, but some background now as far as the logistics of this competition. So we have folks submit their nominations. Whoever has the top 8 nominations across the state, so the Wisconsin Beef Council doesn't choose the top 8. It's you, the consumers, you, the burger lovers. Mm-hmm. We select those, put them on a map, and then we have a secret panel of judges who travel around with the evaluation sheet, and they score the burgers, and that's how we select our best burger in Wisconsin.
Very cool. And for those out there that are very into March Madness and filling out brackets, a little bit similar to that.
Exactly. That's right. We're going to go from our Elite Eight, and we're going to avoid the Final Four just because then we're probably splitting hairs, right?
Mm-hmm,
but we're just going to go straight to your champion, your winner. Last year, our winner was Pickles Bar and Grill up in Hazelhurst, so even further north than where you guys are there in Wisconsin Rapids. Had the pleasure of traveling up there for our press conference to announce them as the winner. And I tell you what, it was a fantastic burger, just a fantastic experience to be up there in the Northwoods and hanging out with the folks at Pickles. And what's really incredible is from the time that they were announced in the Elite Eight, so from April 1st until they were announced as a winner in May, and then through June, their burger sales went up 530%.
Wow.
They had to extend their operating hours. They had to hire another sous chef to come on board. It was a fantastic business opportunity for them. So that's also a fair warning. If you guys are nominating your favorite burger restaurant, let them know.
Yes, yes.
They could be prepared to have all hands on deck should they be announced in the Elite Eight.
That really is a strong point. First off, it's great to hear this. While this is a fun thing to be doing in a kind of a cool thing to be doing, I think. It certainly shouldn't be lost in that this is all about helping these local businesses, helping our industry out, in our economy out so much. And that part of it is really cool to hear. It's very, very rewarding to hear that. It's also just a lot of fun to be doing this. And it is a great note to businesses out there, especially we know that some businesses are, you know, they have just enough people to get by. So if you're going to give them more work, they really need a heads up. They really could use it. And I do have to say, Caitlin, it seems like every time we talk, I feel like I got into the wrong industry. Your job and what you guys get to do over there just seems like I should have gone into this. This is the line of work to do. This seems like a fun gig.
I'm so spoiled.
I do want to get into a little bit of what it takes to be eligible for this contest.
Absolutely. And so that's another thing, too. I know we've seen some comments on our Facebook page of folks saying what about burger trucks or, you know, or food trucks or our seasonal stands. And unfortunately, they're not eligible. We need this to be a restaurant that's open and has this burger on their menu year-round. And a lot of that is because we're giving a lot of excitement and a lot of hype about this. And we would hate for folks to, once the top eight are announced, to get in their car and drive to a location just to find out that it's not going to be open for a couple of months there. So to be eligible, the burger must meet the following guidelines. It has to be 100% beef. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't add other ingredients like bacon that we love and cheese and things like that on top of the burger or spices within the patty itself, but the burger has to be 100% beef. All burgers have to be formed in a ground beef patty, served on a bun or some other bread product. We know people are very creative out there with biscuits or tortillas. And they can have whatever condiments or sauces that they should choose, but every component of that burger has to be placed between the bun or the bread pieces or served open face on some sort of bread product. And then, as I said before, the burger has to be available on the nominated restaurant's regular menu, and that restaurant has to be open year-round. And another thing, too, once the restaurants are the winners, they can only win once. And so it's been so fun to see last year's winner, Pickles Bar and Grill, share the love. And they've even given some open support of another restaurant who was in the Elite Eight last year, saying that they're giving them all their votes. And so that's what's been really fun to see, as well as the camaraderie within the restaurant industry. I remember among the Elite Eight last year, they were sharing their support for the individuals that were selected as the winners. And that's just really heartwarming to see as well.
It's really cool. It's such it's an incredibly competitive business. And to see this, you know, there's few people that can understand what the restaurant industry is like outside of other restaurant people. So the relatability there that they have, and then the camaraderie, the being able to support each other, a rising tide raises all boats.
Yes. Yes, that's right. I love it.
And if people are curious, they want to kind of follow along with this, maybe they don't have a recommendation, but they just enjoy the show. How can they keep up to date on all of this?
Absolutely. So our website, beeftips.com, has all the information about the burger contest. I would also recommend following us on social media. So we're pretty much on any platform that you may be on, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, the works. And we will, once we announce the Elite Eight, that map, then we'll give a little bit of a deep dive into each of those eight restaurants. If you missed the Elite Eight last year, we still have that map on our website, beeftips.com. Just go to that Best Burger Contest page if you're curious and maybe want to do a little spring road trip here as our temperatures are heating up. You might be thinking about firing up the grill, but why not let someone else do some cooking for you as well and travel to those? I really want to emphasize that we need some love on the western side of the state. Last year, we had a lot of folks kind of in the South Central Wisconsin region, the Southeast Wisconsin region, and then a couple more northern areas. But that western side of the state could really use some love this year if there's anyone who wants to find their favorite burger joint in that region. And I do also want to say for our restaurant tours out there, we have resources for you to promote yourself and brag about yourself to get those nominations in. So we have flyers and postcards, table tents, QR codes, some social media assets, a lot of those elements for our restaurants to be able to download and promote and share their own story. I know some of our restaurants are a little bit too humble, so they might need that little bit of a push of encouragement from their favorite customers out there, but we really want to make this as turnkey as possible to help promote burgers in our local restaurant scene in Wisconsin.
It's a great point to bring up. As Midwesterners, we tend to not, you know, put a lot of attention on ourselves. So the customers out there, it's not surprising to hear them make nominations oftentimes, the business owners, the cooks not doing it themselves. And I do want to say good luck to everybody, because, boy, this is not going to be it's tough to make these decisions. Voting on something like this, there are no they're all great entries. They're all great burgers out there. We have so many great choices out there. So good luck, everybody, and keep along with this one. We'll be keeping up to date on it as well and let our audience know how that's going. Looking forward to it. We have Caitlin Kessler joining us from the Wisconsin Beef Council here. And Caitlin, we are getting closer and closer to one of our favorite holidays. St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner, and you can't think of St. Patrick's Day and not think of corned beef.
That's right. Have you ever tried making it yourself, like brining the brisket and everything yourself?
Actually, this might be funny to the audience. My Italian grandmother, my Nana, used to make it every my papa, her husband, loved it. So she made it every year. And where we grew up in Chicago, she had a couple of families that were from Ireland that she was very good friends with. And she, as far as I knew, she made it the way that they did. So, yeah, I've seen it made. I haven't made it myself, though.
Oh, wow. Well, you're probably more of an expert on it than I am. My goodness.
I was in the kitchen to grab things on high shelves. That's all she had me do. I cut up some onions maybe. And, yeah.
Oh, sweet. Oh, those are fun memories to be had. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of folks out there are probably like me, where you've probably indulged on corned beef brisket on St. Patrick's Day, but never quite ventured out to making it yourself. But it's truly made from that brisket flat half. That's the leaner cut of the brisket, and it's been salt cured in a brine. And the term corned, it doesn't come from how the animals are finished. But sometimes I think people assume that if it's corned mm-hmm. beef, that means that it was from a corn-fed animal. It actually comes from those large pieces of rock salt that are used in the brine, and that helps preserve the meat as well as add additional flavor and moisture. And you had mentioned that your grandma had those relationships with the folks from Ireland, and it actually gained its popularity in the United States when those Irish immigrants were looking for a cheaper alternative to bacon. So they started brining this beef brisket, and now it's used in a lot of different cuisines throughout the world. But we especially know that St. Patrick's Day is the time when this really comes out of the works. But we do know that there's a lot of ways that corned beef can be used year-round. And so for folks who are looking to cook it at home, there's a couple of different cooking methods. So you could do the classic oven roasted cooking method, where you put it in the roasting pan with the seasonings and cover it with aluminum foil. When you purchase your corned beef brisket in the store, they'll often have that seasoning packet right in there with it. Mm-hmm. And I will say too, if you're going and buying the brisket and have questions, our folks, whether you're going to a supermarket and you're talking to the folks at the meat counter, or maybe you're going to your local butcher or meat processor, they love answering questions. This is their passion. And so don't hesitate to ask them if you have any questions about the best way to prepare it or cook it. If you know you're not going to have time to oven roast it, maybe you want to go low and slow in the slow cooker, you can put that in the slow cooker and top it with that seasoning packet, add in some water or some cider, cover it. And that's one of those where you could head out cooking it on high for about 7 hours or on low for about 10 hours until it's fork tender, and really just dive in with a classic brisket, potatoes, or cabbage, whichever you want in your St. Patrick's Day menu for that night.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one, I have some familiarity with corned beef and everything, but I've never heard of it for breakfast.
I know. There's a lot of ways that we can have those planned overs and repurpose it. Of course, we have the breakfast hash. That's a great method of doing it, where you can take your shredded or cubed corned beef, mix it with some potatoes that you might also have left over. Maybe you want to shred up some hash browns, mix it with onions, some leeks, green peppers. It can also be substituted with your ham. So if you want a new take on your Denver omelet, you can use that in place of canned ham for those different breakfast preparations. Of course, if you have a lot of corned beef left over, you can have it for breakfast and lunch. We have a corned beef Reuben and other sandwiches that use thinly sliced corned beef. And you can also chop it or shred it to use it as a topper or a mix-in. We actually have a really fun recipe on our YouTube channel where it's a soup made with a corned beef brisket, a leftover recipe. So if you're curious about how to prepare that, hop over to our YouTube channel. We have quite a few in our corned beef brisket collections. I will say our official beef lady, Andy Horkin, their family is very, very Irish, and so they take St. Patrick's Day pretty seriously, and it's never a joke whenever she comes in, and I swear every day she walks in the office during March and says, it's March's corned beef season,
nice.
And they get really excited about it, so they have a lot of fantastic recipes there. And maybe if you're going to St. Patrick's Day and you aren't the one in charge of the brisket itself, you can always whip together an appetizer. I will say, James, I'm not a cook. And so the one that really stands out to me is a corned beef pickle dip. It reminds me of, I don't know if you guys ever enjoyed like ham salad as kids. And that's what this reminds me of, where you combine corned beef with mayonnaise and diced dill pickles. And it's just a really simple and delicious option for an appetizer.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially for families out there that you've had this every year, it sounds like, you know, not just this, but what we're going to talk about coming up are some different options for corned beef. It's still a way of keeping the tradition, but maybe trying something different.
That's right. And that's what it's all about. You never know until you try it what might be your next big favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the pleasures. You know, you talked before about how you maybe went into the wrong line of business. That's one of the perks of my job, is I feel like every day I come in and I find a new way. You know, I grew up on a dairy farm. Now we raise beef cattle. You think that you know all the different ways of cooking and preparing beef, but I swear each and every day I learn a new way of doing it. And so that's a lot of the fun. And doing it together with family, having those memories. You know, like you said, even if you're just reaching in the top shelf of the cupboard or chopping up those onions, being there with family and having those memories, I think, is even better than the flavor.
Well said. Very well said. And as we're getting close to the end of our time here, we did want to mention as well that this is really good for small plates and dinner. Can you touch on that a little bit, Caitlin?
Absolutely. So one of those fun small plate options that you might have would be to slice your corned beef into small pieces, and you can braise them to tenderize them. And this is a really fun alternative to bacon or pork belly, and that can be featured in a lot of your small plate dishes. And just like how we have those brisket burnt ends at restaurants, that's one of my favorite go-tos to order, you can take that corned beef and use it as smoked burnt ends for that barbecue feature. You could smoke cubed corned beef pieces and toss them with a barbecue sauce for that really unique and fun taste. And we've talked about, you know, the dinner, the classic corned beef and cabbage that can have a place on your plate on St. Patrick's Day. But there's a lot of experimenting that you can do year-round. So you don't only have to buy your corned beef brisket in March. You can participate in this celebration all year-round. And you can use corned beef for different ingredients, like for topping pasta, adding to stews, even mixing it in with ground beef or meatloaf. And one option that even said on beefitswhatsfordinner.com was to sear a braised piece and serve it as a not-so-traditional center-of-the-plate steak. So have a corned beef version of a steak on your plate. And there's just a lot of different options to make corned beef versatile that I don't think a lot of us have considered. So once again, check out those websites, beeftips.com or beefiswhatsfordinner.com, to learn more about corned beef and try to find some fun and unique ways to incorporate it, whether it's St. Patrick's Day or you're just looking for something fun to do in these summer months coming up.
To your point, Caitlin, part of the reason I brought up that story earlier is because I've been around corned beef and hash and corned beef my whole life, really. And I had no idea how versatile it was. I had no idea all these things that we talked about today until I got your notes and was able to look into us. And I asked my mom about a little of it. And she's like, oh, yeah, this and this. And it was just really fun to hear about this and to go into this and dive into some more of this topic. Great conversation, as always, Caitlin. We appreciate the time. We got to talk again real soon. If people have follow-up questions, they would like to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they get in touch with you, Caitlin?
They can check out the About Us tab at beeftips.com, and there you can shoot us an email, give us a call. We would love to be able to connect, or as always, feel free to send us a message on social media, and please keep following along as we count down to finding our best burger in Wisconsin.
And encourage you to follow along with that and do your, you know, look into the Wisconsin Beef Council as well. This is a strong nonprofit that does some amazing work for our ag industry, for our farmers out there, and also gives us a lot of really fun topics and fun things like the burger contest and stuff. Really can't thank you enough for the time, Caitlin. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
We'll talk again real soon. And remember, you can find more out at beeftips.com, beeftips.com. Be sure to follow along with the Best Burger Contest at beeftips.com/events/Best Burger Contest. We'll be back with more show coming up here on Midday Magazine, a 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.